All right, nice having everybody back here. The sun is out in Scottsdale, Arizona. Scottsdale Stadium and Giants and Reds today in a spring training game. Boy, we did covered a lot of ground today. Let me tell you, we covered a lot of ground today on the pregame show. Just to let everybody know, we'll have our postgame today, and then the pregame tomorrow, a different time tomorrow. Andy Baggerly joins us right now. Andy, you are aware of the starting time for tomorrow, right?
I am, yeah.
3:15 in the game. So I come on at 1 o'clock tomorrow with the pregame. And then no postgame for me tomorrow because the WBC will be carried on KMBR immediately following the conclusion of the Giants-Rockies game.
Well, that's all well and good, but first we've got to have lunch before today's game, and they've got Ned Colletti's chicken schnitzel back there, so we are thick as thieves today.
Yeah, it's a big hit here. So that's what we got cooking tomorrow. But, Andy, as I said earlier about this matchup today, this could be something to watch today.
Oh, heck yeah. Aroldis Chapman. You remember when Buster Posey made his spring debut last year?
Yeah.
The first guy he faced out of the chute was Aroldis Chapman. Well, Buster isn't playing for either split squad today. He's getting the day off. But the one guy I'm interested to see face Chapman is Francisco Pagero because, you know, this guy has as much bat speed as anybody. And we're talking anybody on the major league club, too. And he's really been set back by this knee injury the last couple years, had surgery in 2011. They call it chondromalacia, the same thing Chase Utley's been dealing with. But he's finally feeling healthy, comfortable, able to drive off his back leg. And this guy can hit, Marty. He really can. So I'm looking forward to see how he can handle 99 miles per hour.
That's one of my phrases. This guy can hit.
He can hit.
That's one of my phrases.
Uh-oh.
All right.
What am I supposed to drink?
You're supposed to have... Well, we'll give you some water.
Hey, thanks, by the way, for Marty. Was nice enough to warn me that was the last time we're going to hear the Naughty Car Volvo ad.
New Volvo commercial.
New Volvo commercial.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So I got to savor the Naughty Car.
Yeah,
thank you.
New Volvo commercial. Emily, thank you so much. I'll record it tomorrow. It's going to start tomorrow. Hey, this week, a couple of things happened. One, the ghost of Randy Elliott came back. And, of course, for fans who don't remember him, 1978, he hit like 6:15 at spring training. He made the Giants, and that was the last they heard of him. He was gone within about a month. Right-handed hitter, sort of a stocky outfielder. Johnny Monell this week has put himself, and I want to talk about Pagero with you as well, but Johnny Monell has sort of put himself into something, some mix, the way he's hitting.
Well, 21 guys cut the other day, and Johnny Monell was not one of them. And part of that is Hector Sanchez, the fact that he's right. Nicked up. He's had the shoulder, which has bothered him since winter ball. And that's a big concern at this point, that every time he ramps it up, it starts barking at him again. You really, on a team with pitching and defense, you can't have a catcher with a sore shoulder. That just doesn't work. So, you know, and this happens a lot with catchers. We saw it with Eli Whiteside a few springs ago. He had an elbow flared up. Okay, it got a little better. He started the year with the team. But you could tell, Marty, he wasn't throwing well all year long that year and had his elbow operated on after the season. So it really remains to be seen how much this shoulder is going to be an issue for Hector Sanchez. But it means they've got to keep more catchers in camp. They also have Jackson Williams. They also have... Tyler Latorre they sent out. He was with Team Italy. But they have a few other catchers
Quiroz.
In camp that they otherwise might not want to have. You're right, Guillermo Quiroz. He's probably the guy who's most likely to make the team, I think, because he's the most dependable catcher.
I believe that. And I want to tell you something. You talk about challenges today. Billy Hamilton is leading off for the Reds today in center field.
Yeah, what do you have, about 150 stolen bases in the minors last year?
165 or something like that. Yeah. And you know it. You know you want it, the lemonade guy. You know, if you're down here, you know that.
Oh, yeah. You're always looking for these guys to show you something. And when they're challenged, how they respond.
He's going to run. And Emmanuel Burris is in the two spot. He can't wait to run.
Sure.
So Quiroz today has got his hands full with this. And Bumgarner is so slow to the plate. You know, that's been a big issue for him. Just watch what Billy Hamilton does today with Quiroz.
Did you know, Marty, that no left-handed pitcher in the majors allowed more stolen bases than Madison Bumgarner last year? So as a lefty, he's got a built-in advantage. But as you say, he's really had a problem with that last year. Whereas the year before that, he was great holding runners. So one of those things that he's got to kind of master and pick up. Because as Matt Cain said it yesterday when Buster Posey threw out two runners, that can really change an inning. That can change the game. And we know that Buster, when given time, is going to make an accurate throw. So... that's a big challenge, and Bumgarner's got to get better at that this year.
All right, 808 KMBR. Andy is with us. We can take a couple of phone calls. I know we've done a lot of things this morning, talking about the WBC and things like that, coming to San Francisco. $99, by the way. Mario Eliota stopped by today. You can get all three games now for $99.
Wow.
SFGiants.com, which is a huge reduction, and you get to see, $30 a game. That's pretty good.
You know what? I'm going to call it right now. Netherlands. Netherlands
well,
is going to win the whole thing.
Bruce Jenkins just said that.
Yep.
That's kind of the dark horse.
I think they've got some power arms, and you don't need many power arms. I like the way that Bam Bam went and recruited and got a couple guys. Why didn't Japan do that? Say, hey, you know, whoever their starting pitcher is going to be, you've got
Darvish.
A sore arm. We're going to bring you Darvish in to replace you. I'm a little surprised they didn't you know, get some major leaguers on that club for the final round. But the Netherlands did, and I like the way they play. A lot of good athletes. They catch the ball everywhere.
Well, they've got the four infielders. They got the, you know, the top 20 of all the prospects in baseball on that team. Andy Piguero, you mentioned him, and I talked about him a couple of weeks ago. You know, we all saw it. He's hitting the ball hard, line drives all over the place. If he hangs in here for about another 2 weeks, I would say he will be the fifth outfielder. I don't think there's any more competition right now.
Well, and there's still a couple ways that they could go with the roster. They could, you know, try Brandon Belt out in left field a little and go without that fifth outfielder. If they think, you know, because they've got Gregor Blanco, Andres Torres in that left field platoon, they're not too stiffs. Those are two guys who can play all three outfield spots, play them well. They might feel they could get away with it. But I think that if they did go that way, it would be to get a Brett Pill on the team or somebody with a little more power. And Pill obviously is going to start on the DL because he had knee surgery. So I really think they are going to carry a fifth outfielder. And it's down to Cole Gillespie or Francisco Piguero. Well, it's that simple. They're the only two guys left.
And that's not even a competition right now.
No. And the only reason that you would start Piguero in the minors is if you really want him to play every day and groom him for an everyday role. But as Brian Sabian said, this guy could make himself into an everyday player this year.
You know, it's funny you said that. I had this discussion last night at dinner. I said, well, look, Piguero makes the team, all right? You know, we're talking about the 24th, 25th spots of players, and the one bullpen guy is the last spot. So they face the Dodgers. There's Kershaw and who knows, Greinke and, you know, Beckett. Then you come home with the Cardinals, and, you know, you could have Wainwright and people like that in the 100-mile-an-hour bullpen. He may not get in a bat until Colorado gets here. And that's the issue, is a guy has got to understand that and be ready when six games go by and now we need you in the seventh game.
Sure.
That's, to me, that's the biggest challenge for him.
Well, and I think Bruce Bochy is like most managers. They want to try to include everybody on the roster as quickly as they can in that first week. So, you know, maybe we'll have Andres Torres out there to get the right-handed matchup against Kershaw on opening day. Then the very next day we'll have Gregor Blanco out there. But, you know, we all know that durability has been a big-time question for Andres Torres over his career. And Piguero being a right-handed hitter, that means you could slide him right into the right-handed side of that platoon with Blanco. And if Blanco struggles, so we know there have been times he's been a little overexposed, then maybe Piguero could even jump up and grab a little bit more than a platoon in left field. So there's a reason that even though Piguero's played a lot of right field in his minor league career, you've seen him get almost all of his innings this spring in left field because they know that, you know, they could have an issue there.
Yeah, that has absolutely changed. Quiroz, to me, looks like the backup catcher. Hector Sanchez, you know, this is what, March, what's today, 16th?
Mm-hmm.
March 16th. You know, is he going to be ready in 2 weeks? I mean, the guy's, you know, hardly played the whole spring. I can't see him starting on the active list.
I don't think so. I really don't see that happening just because it's been something he's dealt with for the better part of 2 months now, seeing it went back to winter ball. So they need to get this thing to quiet down, and hopefully he doesn't need any kind of procedure or anything along those lines. He's going to start taking swings again Tuesday, but even swinging left-handed has been a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know that there's really a lot of inflammation, a lot of irritation back there. I agree with you. I think Quiroz is the most dependable catch-and-throw guy. When in doubt, this team is always going to go with defense.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they didn't go out and get a Scott Hairston type of guy in the offseason or another left fielder who maybe can't catch the ball. Probably one of the reasons they haven't really explored Belt out there in left field. They really value defense at every turn. That's how they've won a couple World Series, by playing good defense behind a really good pitching staff. So they're going to go with their best defensive catcher, and Quiroz could very much, like if he throws Billy Hamilton out a time or two,
yeah,
like you said,
this is going to be interesting,
can really nail that down.
Well, in AT&T Park, you want to win 50, and they know you got to do it with pitching and defense, and I agree with you. That is why they did not go after a Ryan Ludwig or a Hairston or people like that.
And here's the other real interesting dynamic, I think, for this team, is if Quiroz is your backup catcher, you know, with Hector Sanchez, he had enough offensive interest that he brought to the table that you could stomach taking Buster Posey out of the lineup more or putting him at first base and putting Belt on the bench. It's going to be a lot harder to do that with Guillermo Quiroz, who It's pretty amazing. He's played for five different major league clubs, worn five different major league uniforms, and yet only played in 105 career games.
And that, like 8 years or
a 2-0 something hitter. So
I told you this. He was on the Venezuelan Little League championship team.
And his teammate was?
That I don't know.
Yusmeiro Petit.
Oh, really?
They were teammates.
Oh, very good.
Won the Little League World Series
together.
He
always goes better than me. This is an in-depth reporter.
Well, I'm the insider, Morgan.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, no, I didn't realize that until he mentioned he was on the Venezuelan Little League team that won the national championship.
But anyway, it's going to be real interesting to see how much are they going to try to tax Posey more than last year. Because it worked so well last year, you almost think we'll just, you know, leave it alone and do it again.
Make him a catcher. Mm-hmm. He's the catcher. And the catcher catches 140 games, and you don't even think about it.
Well, and he's not catching today after playing yesterday. So tomorrow with Tim Lincecum, I'd imagine we're going to see Posey and Lincecum together.
No, that's Colorado. Tony Abreu. We see Tony Siegel more than Tony Abreu. And Tony Siegel is, like 50 years older than Tony Abreu. And he's in the Giants front office. He's the only Tony I see. And what's going on with Tony Abreu? We just don't see him on the field here. Because if he could play, he's the guy.
Yeah.
I'm convinced they want him.
Yeah, he's the guy who they were very excited to get off waivers. He's been a former top prospect. They feel like he can play all three infield positions they would need him to play. They feel he's got the most upside with the bat and pop one out of the park, too. He's been had a lot of hype over him over his career, but he's out of minor league options. So if he doesn't make the team,
what do you do with him?
Then you'd have to try to get him through waivers. And it almost would work to the Giants' advantage. If he can't get back on the field, then just don't get back at all, because then maybe nobody will take
DL
a
him?
Chance. You can DL him, yeah. That's something that they could do. But, of course, you'd be paying him the major league side of his split contract,
point,
for a team with a $140 million payroll, maybe you think, okay, that's a drop in the bucket. But
well,
it's still a consideration.
If you DL'd him, and then you activated him, let's say, then he can rehab.
Go on rehab assignment.
And now you bring him back May 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Other clubs, let's say you want to leave him in Fresno. Who's going to take him on May 6th?
Well, that's the thing. It's always harder for a club to make roster room once the season has begun.
That's right.
And they've sort of broken with their team. So that has been a strategy that's employed many times. And you remember in 2010 they did that with Fred Lewis. He wasn't really that hurt, but they didn't have a spot for him. And they figured maybe they could sneak him through waivers a couple weeks into the season. And they ended up trading him to the Toronto Blue Jays. He never played an inning for the Giants and yet still got a World Series ring because he was on the roster
at
some
point. He deserved it.
Yeah.
Freddy Lewis. Hey, can you stick around another minute or two?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we'll take a break. 808 KMBR is the number. The sun is shining. The grounds crew is watering down the infield. That grass is green. The flag's just hanging out there in center field. Not a breeze in the ballpark right now. The Reds are loosening up to my left, and the Giants are in having a nice lunch right now and heading down to the bullpen as the old left-hander himself, Madison Bumgarner.
He's 23, isn't he, Marty?
We call him the old left-hander.
You can't call him the old left-hander.
Well, the Reds
Give
are here.
5 years.
The Reds are here, and Joe Nuxall was their radio voice. And we called him the old left-hander.
Okay, well,
so it makes me think of him.
He now qualifies as the old left-hander. But Bumgarner, 38 pitchers in camp, and he's the second youngest.
Well, let me tell you something about Bumgarner before we go to the break. Look what he's done in the World Series.
Sure.
Now, forget about NLDS and all the other nonsense of the alphabets. This guy in the World Series has pitched two of them. And Lincecum's another one. They have dominated in the World Series at his age. You look at Whitey Ford and Pettit, and I don't care who you bring up, Gibson, Koufax, the rest of them. Bumgarner's on the verge. If this continues for the Giants, he could be one of the greatest postseason pitchers in history.
Wow. Well, he's got a lot of years in front of him, that's for sure.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Wow. All right, 808 KMBR. Andy is with us. We'll take a break, come back right after this on the Sports League.
KMBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on the Sports Leader.
After the game today, I'll be back with you on our post-game show. Giants lineup, Hunter Pence in the four spot. Andy Baggerly, Hunter Pence. Have you ever covered a guy like this before?
I don't think there is a guy like that.
It's
I think
true.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the only one. It's interesting. I was talking to Gary Brown today. He's going to go to minor league camp tomorrow. And I was just asking him about his spring and some of the adjustments that the coaches were making with him, because he does have some very, very unique setup and approach at the plate. And you know, he's trying to incorporate some of it, but at the same time, he's fighting it because these are things that have worked for him through his entire career. So It's kind of hard to overhaul somebody when they've been really successful. And I thought, you know what, I'd really be interested to hear Hunter Pence's opinion. So I went up and talked to Pence this morning as well. And he said that people would always try to change him in college, but he would take something from it. He'd try to figure out what they want him to do and then figure out how he could do that in his own way. And it was an interesting conversation because, you know, I think good coaches work with what you have. They don't try to make you into a cookie cutter. But they also can tell you, hey, look, you might have trouble with the right-hander, you know, pitching you in. You might have trouble, you know, getting to the pitch away. We need to move you up in the box, move you back in the box, what have you. So, you know, it's really interesting. You come up upon that wall, I think, as a player trying to break into the big leagues, where you either trust yourself or you trust the eyes who are seeing you and the things you do.
Well, do you think Brown was genuine in, you know, understanding what he's got to work on at Fresno?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. But, you know, he's not going to, you know, be textbook at any point. He's still going to be who he is. And he's a confident kid. He knows he's got a lot of work to do, though.
Well, he's going to a good place. I like the fruit in Fresno. I warned him. Nectarines, peaches, and all that. All right.
Fresno's good. I'll take Oregon fruit. I'm going to take